Here I come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. You ready for this, Rich? I don't think this is as good as the last segment we did it, but let me see if this works.
Oh, you didn't have a chainsaw.
No, we forgot the chainsaw.
And the planer.
Okay, Sparky.
I'll be honest. I still like the last one. And the fact that they remembered the okay, Sparky was awesome.
Yeah. So, but all we needed to do was add in there a ring, ding, 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 ding. That would have been it. Yeah. Nice two-cycle engine. So, all right. So the last segment there, ending up on the for the tip of the week, right. we were talking about insurance and flood insurance in particular.
Well, flood insurance specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're talking about flood insurance. Oh, I always love doing this. I write this thing out. Yeah. Uh-huh. A tip of the week. It's not a script. It's
an outline.
Bullet points, right?
Right.
An outline, and I haven't even done most of it. we're just going along because it's. But anyway, so here's some stuff. All right, the cost of flood insurance.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Rich. Brandon is playing that. Our last. Can you play that on the air?
Absolutely.
Here's the other one that we did.
Go ahead.
Oh. Not that one.
Not that one.
Nope.
See, now he's looking for it.
Under.
Bang, 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 boom,
under
boom,
pressure.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'll save
I gotta
that for
tell you, I kind of like that. That's, oh, absolutely. That's a drop. Oh, my God.
That's
somebody's
going to
call
our...
and go, hey, I'm having a problem with this. Uh-huh. And you're going to go, boom, right into that one.
Yep. Perfect.
That's awesome. All right. So, no, seriously. So the cost of flood insurance is based on a number of factors. First off, most obvious is where you live and whether you're in a flood zone or not. Elevation of your home based on that flood zone. But anybody can get flood insurance if your community is a member of the flood insurance program. And most communities, counties are. So you can get it. You have to go to your agent. But there's ways you can save money. So there's one way is the elevation. The second is a higher deductible, which I touched on. The other way is, you know, you can get two types of insurance. You can have insurance for just the building,
mm-hmm,
or the contents included.
Right.
So like my insurance policy, I have both. Okay. Content, building and contents. So if we get hit with a hurricane, which the one that's Irma,
yeah,
is scaring the hell out of all of us right now. It's already a 3 and it's not even, you know, in the mid-Atlantic yet.
Right.
So we're keeping a close eye on that. But I have wind insurance, I have flood insurance. So you know what? It would be a couple of months of dealing with crap, but
right,
it's covered.
Right.
But you don't have to insure the contents. So that can decrease it if you don't care about the furniture and all that. And I'm not saying, I don't know, just talk like most people. If all the contents of my house, my furniture got destroyed by flood.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be a bad thing because I could probably use a new couch, but I'm too cheap to throw out that one.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have holes in it. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's
the
like,
boss...
you know, in your heart, it's really trashed.
The boss will be happy.
I'm just not going to go drop $3,000 this weekend.
Right. Right. But that's your deductible there too. You know, if you had a $5,000 deductible that on, and then that would cover your contents anyway. So, you know, I don't
exactly.
know.
So it's amazing to me though, how that this is all out there and a lot of people don't really get into it. So think about it though, like what's going on in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So federal disaster assistance is going to be form of low interest disaster loans.
Right.
You can get them from the SBA. Or you can get FEMA offers disaster grants. They don't need to be paid back, but it's also very small amounts of money.
And it takes a long time to get through the process, too.
Exactly. Well, even flood insurance, I don't think that the federal flood program is going to be real quick to
pay out,
cut you a check.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Fortunately, I've never been in the situation. Actually, that's something I'd like to hear. Because I hear people in, you know, from New Orleans, from Katrina, are still fighting stuff sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much of it's legit. Like, did you actually have a claim or did you not actually own the house at the time? That kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, the coverage will cover your building, the building and its foundation, electrical plumbing system, central air conditioning equipment, furnaces, water heaters, refrigerators, stoves, appliances, permanently installed carpeting, permanently installed paneling, wallboard, bookcases, window blinds, detached garages, debris removal is all covered under my flood policy.
Wow.
Because I have contents insurance,
mm-hmm.
covers my personal property, clothing, furniture, electronics, curtains, portable window air conditioners, microwaves, carpets that are not included in the building coverage, which would be an area rug.
Right.
They don't say area rug. They like to do this. I lifted this right off the FEMA website. clothing, washers and dryers, food freezers, which was misspelled, by the way, and it still is on the website.
Okay.
Which I thought was funny because, like, seriously, it's on the website. You don't have spell check, your webmaster. It's the government, so we can just cut them some slack.
Right.
But food freezers, the food in them, and then even certain valuable items such as artwork and furs.
Yeah.
You can get... They will pay up to $2,500 just for that.
Wow.
Like that painting, you think it's got value?
Right.
Up to $2,500 bucks. So,
okay.
Again, I pay what, $1,300, $1,400 a year for my HO1 policy,
mm-hmm.
which pretty much only covers me for fire.
Okay.
No sewer backup.
Right.
No acts of God. No terrorism, right? It's got to be a declared act of terrorism. No mold, no mildew. You know, go on and on with the list of exclusions.
Right.
But flood insurance is less than $600, and I'm 9 feet above sea level.
See, for you, that's a no-brainer. You'd be all over that.
But anybody that lives in the bend of a river, I don't care if you're 5 blocks from the river. When the river gets bigger than the river should be, you're at risk.
So,
and it might only be every 100 years. So,
right.
The last thing I'll say about this is, okay, I'm not a big, how to do this, because I don't want a bunch of hate mail. I'm not going there.
But
I do believe in climate change. I think the climate is changing.
Sure.
Do I think that man is responsible for it? I would say no. I believe we may contribute in a small way to it. But what people don't understand is the Earth revolves around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But the sun is moving at 70,000 miles an hour.
Through
the universe, and the planets are chasing it. In other words, that thing you saw when you were a kid in school,
mm-hmm.
and you know everything went around the sun, is BS. The sun is going like this, and we're all going like this around it. We're chasing it. So we could be going through, I don't know, you know, some cosmic wind or whatever. I mean, it's just so complicated. It's hard to answer. But that said, because we're going through all these changes, few hundred dollars a year. I mean, come on.
It's something that you need. And, you know, for us in the Chicagoland area, we're probably 600 feet above sea level, but it still floods here. So, you know, the elevation of where you're at, it has somewhere to run. If you're down by Rich, it has nowhere to go. So it's going to stick. The water's going to stick around longer.
It goes into the Gulf. Actually, up in Cape Coral, Bonita Springs, the flooding was on the news this morning.
Yeah.
what they have now is what's called sheet flooding.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here's an area just south of Fort Myers, Florida, that just got super heavy rains last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, it got like 9-10 inches of rain in one day.
Right.
So where it rained, everything flooded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the water's running downhill, and it's running towards a canal that moves water to the Gulf and to a river.
Okay.
Well, all of that water is literally moving downhill.
Yeah.
So areas that didn't get the rain and didn't get flooded are now flooding because that water's moving downhill.
Right.
So there's so many reasons you could do this.
Right. So the only other thing you need to add for your insurance is alligator removal. I saw that on the news. They were pulling out alligators out of people's living rooms in Louisiana. Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, Robbie, something we haven't talked about yet, but we need to.
It's all right.
Lack of?
Is it 2 weeks away now?
Yeah.
No, okay. It's next week.
No, two weeks.
No, 2 weeks. But next week, there's a special. Next week is an awesome special. So you know how we always talk about Mr. Floor cleaning products?
Yep.
They've created their own cleaning products. And it's for wood floors. It's for
countertops,
cabinets. It's for all kinds of stuff. Okay, so everybody, nice. Listen.
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 Some of you already purchased the products. And some of you are like, oh, wow, this sounds really good. Okay, here's the thing.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it till next week. Saturday. Next week, Saturday the 9th, between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Only. Yep. Every dollar that they earn.
Bring in. From sales of their cleaning products.
Of their cleaning products. Goes directly to sponsor me in the Muckfest, which is a run to earn money to cure MS.
Right.
Phew, that's a lot of saying things. Okay. So basically, every cent. So the products start about $12. Mm-hmm. If you buy $25 worth of product, which is a gallon, like a refillable gallon thing, you get free shipping.
Okay.
Okay, their products are awesome.
Yes, they work really well.
First of all, the products are really good. Second of all, every penny goes to MS.
Mm-hmm.
Free shipping. You really can't go wrong.
Right.
The other thing is if you would like to donate to me, you can email robbie@mightyhouse.net and I'll send you the link. Or you can go on Facebook and find the link to donate directly to me, even $5. We're asking people just donate $5. That's awesome to help cure MS.
And it's on Twitter.
Right.
And if you go to the Mighty House team page or go to mightyhouse.net, you can sign up for the newsletter and it'll be in the newsletter that gets sent to you every Thursday evening.
Very cool. And I know that there are a million charities and people right now because of Harvey. You know, you can text the word Harvey to 90999.
Wait till Irma gets there.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much out there. So the Mr. Floor thing is really, really a good opportunity because all of your money is going towards finding a cure for MS.
Yes. And your mother has MS.
My mother does have MS. She is completely bedridden. She actually has 1.5 full-time caregivers. There's somebody with her 24 hours a day, and then 3 days a week, there's 2 people with her 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And we're running on a team with a wonderful family, and their husband, father, passed away from MS. So it's a really near and dear to me. Please help, but next week is the week to do it.
And you make a donation and you get something for it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you could think of it that way. Well, you can't use it as a write-off because you're not making a donation, but you're buying a product and all that money goes to support
right
this run. So
yes.
next week.
Nice. It's a great opportunity.
If you have any questions, again, email me, robbie@mightyhouse.net, and I'll give you all the scoop poop.
And we want to thank Mr. Floor for putting that together.
Oh, unbelievable.
So, and we'll have those guys in next week, too, to help promote it and get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and next week's newsletter will have a link directly to it, so you don't even have to hunt around. It'll be right there.
Boom, done.
Awesome sauce.
Yes.
So, all right, thank you.
Okay, so something else.
You know what? Like, MS is, I have a friend of my wife's. She was diagnosed with MS a while back, and it was weird because, like, she had trouble with an eye. And that sort of was like one of the first signs. And she's been fighting and she's doing fine. But I'm going to, like, this whole charitable thing, like, remember the ice bucket challenge that everybody did?
Mm-hmm.
So they've actually now identified the genes. Like, all that money went right into research and they've identified the genes that's actually a cause. And so it does some good.
Yes.
It's always nice. You know, everybody likes giving, you know, 10, 20 bucks, no big deal. It's not going to go broke over it.
Right.
But it's great when you actually hear the results.
Yes.
And that they are making progress. And that, and that's really cool. So.
That was the March of Dimes. They cured polio.
Very cool. Okay. So back on hurricane talk today and flooding. And we've got Irma now bearing down on the East Coast. So.
Nobody knows where it's going. It's probably going to go into the Caribbean first, but
right, yeah, it's heading your way. So
yeah,
if you're down in that area, so
that's why I bought new storm shutters. Had my roof redone.
Yep. So it's all fresh, ready to go.
I'm still not going to stay in my house. You know what you do when you live down here, and you ask people, you go, "What do you do when the hurricane's coming?" They go, "I don't know. The biggest decision is figuring out whose house we're having the party at."
Oh.
That's serious. The people that live here their whole lives, that's all they do. It's like. You don't do anything too quickly. You have to see which direction the storm is moving.
Because
that will tell you whether you need to go north, south, east, or west, right, to get away from it. And then if it's only, you know, like a one, you're like, nah, you just have a party somewhere.
You ride it out.
Ride it out. I'm like, yeah, you guys are nuts.
Yeah. So something else that's going to come up that happened after Katrina, and it created a lot of issues, and that's material shortages. So you think, oh, it's no big deal. We're in the Midwest or we're in the Northeast. It's not. It doesn't affect us. It's going to shortly because there's not going to be any drywall. And
supply and demand.
So the drywall demand is going to skyrocket. They're not going to have enough drywall. They're not tile. All the baseboards, moldings, all that kind of stuff is going to be in shortage. Doors, stuff that is constantly being replaced. Appliances. Vehicles, cars, and trucks. How many millions of cars and trucks are down in that area right now that have been floating around that are just going to go straight
coming
to
a used car lot near you soon?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, all of that stuff.
Show me the Carfax.
Yeah. You don't want to see anything from the Texas area now, for sure. So you have to keep an eye on that kind of stuff. And you're going to have to watch it. It's going to create planning and shortages even here in the Midwest or in the Northeast. Where they don't have problems because of all the materials that are going to be going down there. So jobs are going to take longer to get processed, get going. Also, labor is a major issue. They're not even sure in Texas if they're going to have enough labor to be able to put Houston back together.
Come on.
There are so many
I can't say they probably don't. I mean, we have a severe labor shortage as it is. I mean... You know, I can easily find guys to just do the demo. You know, you want the stuff out of your house out to the street? No problem.
Yeah.
Beyond that, skilled labor, somebody with some common sense or brain between your ears, it's a short supply right now.
Right, right. And it's only going to get worse to find that. So, you know, labor's going to be going to the highest bidder. And so those that are willing to pay are going to get the labor and they're going to get the stuff done. So,
well, I know a guy who manages multifamily buildings and some, you know, nationwide. And they have a number of apartment buildings in the Houston area.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance company has already thrown so much money at him that they went out and bought semis, material, all kinds, you know, and they're actually heading to Houston right now.
Really?
But the insurance companies are throwing just huge dollars at them. I mean, for stupid stuff like, you know, work gloves.
Uh-huh.
You can usually get, you know, brown gloves for $1 a pair or a pack of 10 for, you know, $5.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give them $40 to go buy a package of gloves. So they go, that makes sense because the insurance companies are all guaranteed a profit, so they don't really give a damn. They just raise our rates again. But it's not so much the knock on the insurance companies is they're mobilizing. In other words, they're going to try to turn this around as quickly as possible because as soon as the water recedes, you got to get going.
Right. And there are people already starting to, where the water has receded, they're already ripping their houses out, getting the drywall out, getting the furniture out. You can't leave that stuff sit there. That's when the mold's going to start. You know, you want to get it out early and let it dry.
Most of the homes, if they were actually just remove the baseboard and drill holes in the drywall and the stud bays and then ran fans and stuff, they wouldn't need to remove the drywall. It's not totally necessary because, you know, the mold won't grow if it's dry.
Right.
The problem is most of them still don't have power.
So they can't run
the fans. So if you don't have power, you can't run the air conditioning to dry the thing out.
Right.
So that's why you have to get the stuff out of there. But it's going to be a mess for a while.
Right. So everybody's cutting, you know, if the water was up a foot or two, they're cutting it out at 4 feet. That way, 4 foot piece of drywall goes right back in. And it'll be very simple to do that. So the problem, again, like what we were talking about, though, is material shortages, that you're not going to be able to get the drywall. So the longer we wait over the next couple of months, it's going to be an issue. So the thing now what you're going to have to watch out for is what happened in Florida, where you got the drywall that was made in China. And that had a bunch of sulfur in it. So then they were using that drywall in the Florida area and hung it all. And what happened is the sulfur was off-gassing out of the drywall and started eating all the electrical wiring and pipes in the walls. So now there were electrical fires. There were pipes that were bursting because the sulfur is what would you call that? It's not toxic. It is toxic. But it's acidic, so it starts to eat things. Yeah. So it eats metals, and so that's what was going on with that. It was eating through all that stuff, tearing up the wires, tearing up the water lines, and so it created a big problem. So builders were having to go in, tear out all that drywall and replace it.
Does it say where it's from on the drywall?
All your materials will say where it's made, yes.
Okay.
If you look.
We actually, I remember before I moved down here, I had to get letters from my drywall contractors for my insurance company that said we use no imported drywall, which we did. It was imported from Gary, Indiana. But...
yeah. Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
Yep. 76 trombones.
Parade. Uh-oh. 110 corners. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
She's not right, Rich. She just really isn't.
I know. Once she got through her story with the skunk and stuff, she's
done. Yeah. I am done.
Yeah. Now she's just on to exercise and stuff. And
she's coasting to the end of the show until Clutter Clarity. Then
I can't tell you.
Right.
You know, the worst part about this whole show is getting up early.
Yeah.
Once I'm here, you're fine. Uh-huh. But Friday night, I just start dreading it. I really dread it. If it wasn't for how much I like you, Ron...
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right. We do have some phone calls to get to. And we do? Yeah.
Let's go there. They're always more interesting.
We're just chitty-chatting, you know, and catching up and finding out stuff and learning things about insurance.
And Lisa Albrecht posted this really good article on Facebook, Lessons from Hurricane Harvey, about building with resilient products and resilient design.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was something else I wanted to talk to Rich about, because they're doing that down there in Florida. So we've got some time yet. Let's go to the phones. Let's start off with, let's go to line two here. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you, Ravi? Good luck next week.
2 weeks, but thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you.
No, it'll be harder for her next week because she'll be starting to psych herself out.
So I'm scared already.
Be the hard week.
My stomach is in knots.
She'll walk up to the obstacle, look at it, and then walk around it, and then walk down to the okay. So what do you got for us? What do you got for us, Jeff?
Well, a couple of things on Houston. I think one of the toughest things the government's going to have here is managing expectations. You know, there's a lot of people there that in their minds they're thinking in a couple of weeks we'll be back to normal. And in many cases, it's going to be a couple of years, maybe longer. You know, and that's hard. And with respect to Houston, you know, that town has been notorious for bad city planning and loose building codes. And I think a lot of that's going to come to the fore when people start getting these houses inspected for rehabilitation, you know, or is this house is this worth fixing? And they find that a lot of the materials and stuff, or just the way it was constructed, they're looking at teardowns, and they're not going to have anything but a slab to come back to, you know. And now's a good time if they take a breath. It's tough to do, and you know, when you're in emergency mode. But if they take a couple breaths, they may start to say, a couple of these neighborhoods we're going to turn into parks. Something like that.
That's what happened in Louisiana, too, is they were that a lot of the area still has not been put back.
Biloxi is horrible.
It's still from Katrina, which is probably, 10 years ago now?
12. 10 or 12, yeah. But, you know, that's the other side of that, though, and Jeff, I think you'd agree, is, you know, every time it really comes down to don't rely on the government, don't rely on anybody, do it yourself. Because one of the things that always stood out to me was after Katrina in New Orleans, the Asian community banded together, went building to building, all worked together, and they were up and running in a matter of a few weeks. The people that were sitting around waiting for something to happen or somebody to hand them something, they're still not in their home. You know what I mean? 10 years later, because they didn't do anything themselves. You know what I mean? So it's amazing if people band together, and you know, so you have neighborhoods. If they all band together, they can get it done. It'll be all right.
And that is happening down there in Houston where
absolutely,
you know, the neighborhood, somebody's got a tractor, somebody else has got this, and they're gutting the houses already. The stuff is piling up on the streets because of it. So
right.
Yeah. And that's how you gotta do work together.
Yep. Go ahead.
The last thing I had to say was, and you just kind of touched on it, is you have to do it down there. I mean, anytime you've got that much water, you're going to have mold. But Houston, we go down to that Gulf Coast every year on vacation, and Texas, South Padre Island, which wasn't affected by this, it's some of the most corrosive environment in the world because of the way the salt and the water and the winds come up from Mexico and come across the Gulf of Mexico. So, you know, they have mold, bad mold situations in a good day.
You know? Yes.
And so a lot of this is just going to get teared down. But I'm afraid that the biggest risk is the building codes. People are just going to start slapping drywall back up, and they're going to be building mold farms, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really up here, the restoration companies, the good ones, there's a lot of bad ones that really do it right here. You know, they'll spray fungicides and paints and you know, they'll make sure they go below the surfaces of if there's a flood, they'll go below the first floor, down the subfloor, make sure everything's dry. You know, down there, it's a lot looser, and if they don't tighten it up and tighten it up fast, I think they're just going to be building a lot of mold farms.
How do you keep control of that? You know, from the building department's perspective, you might be handling 25, 30 homes being built at any given time. How do you go from doing that to managing hundreds of homes, thousands of homes being built at the same time? You can't.
Right.
That's almost an impossible thing to try to manage.
Well, typically, obviously most of them are cosmetic damage. There's, you know, very few are structural damage because it wasn't hit with a wall of water. The water rose. So once you take the drywall off and dry it out, you can put the drywall back. Well, that does not typically require a building permit. So the city's not going to have to follow up. There's not going to be a lot of inspections. But yeah, it just depends on what people choose to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you need new cabinets because your particle board just got bigger.
Yeah.
right.
You know, now's a good time to change the layout of the cabinets or the house.
Right.
Right.
That would require the permit, but
structural damage can come slowly though too. You know, from sitting in water.
Oh no, I agree. I agree, Jeff. But what I'm saying though is, if you had a wall of water hit it and you know it pushed it off its foundation, it becomes an obvious problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So the last thing I think we should do is get a Nary caravan together with pickup trucks and stuff, and just make a weekend trip down there and just drag some, you know, fill the trucks up with water and badly needed supplies and, you know, just head down there, locate a, ahead of time, locate a drop-off point. We can just, you know, do a little something for the people who need it, because the calculations on bottles of water that are going to be needed for the next 6 months is incredible.
Right. And Nary is doing something. You can go to narichicago.org. They are they have drop-off sites at all the Crawford Supply centers, so you can drop off stuff there over the next couple of weeks, and then they are going to be loading up trucks and heading down there. So if you want to try and do that, you can.
The company I work for, Stock Development, they've actually we've already got shopping lists. With Gina went shopping yesterday and got all kinds of toiletries and stuff to send down, so that's going. We have clothing. We have trucks leaving next Thursday to go down there. So everybody's asked to bring in clothing. So it's like, wow, perfect time to declutter the closets.
Yeah.
So I've got, you know, jackets that I moved in Florida. I don't need all these jackets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to clean the closets out and send all this stuff down there.
Yep. Excellent.
You know, my 1970s concert t-shirts, you know what I mean?
No, so, you got to keep
somebody will appreciate them.
Ron won't let anybody get rid of those.
No. My Bob Seger, my Ted Nugent. Yeah, no, I'm keeping those.
I got all my car show shirts, and they have the date on them. And Gina's like, really? That thing's old enough to drink. I go, I know. That shirt's over 21 years old. That's
excellent.
Sad.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Take care, guys. See you later.
All right. See you, Jeff.
Bye. Excellent.
You know, he's right, though. Like, when you living down here, I actually think that I live in the hardest place to build now.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought that when I moved here, but now I have. And you understand this, Ron. I mean, hey, Robbie, I don't know if you ever heard of this story. So I moved down here. The company I went to work for, the very first house I built with this company, a client of Ron's bought it.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. And we didn't know it until they were talking and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so then Ron figured that out, let me know. So anyway, that was just coincidental. Well, we just had a roof leak issue, which we took care of, obviously.
Uh-oh.
But I have a house Wednesday I'm doing a blower door test on, because we have air infiltration somewhere in a non-vented roof structure. And the HVAC equipment is getting condensation on it, dripping on drywall and creating mold.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge issue. If we don't address it, it becomes a huge issue. But it's the air down here is so bad, like Jeff said, between the humidity and the salt. And I mean, this is a tough place to build.
Yeah. Well, and have it with, you know, stand up and stuff. I remember when we went down for Katrina and we were putting the drywall up and trying to tape it. The mud wouldn't dry.
No, three days.
It was unbelievable. We you know, usually up here, you hit your blocking coat with some 20, and then boom, you hit it. You skim coat it. It's done the next day. We were coming back, and you know, we were just using buckets of mud. We were still sticking our fingers in it. It wouldn't dry. It was unbelievable how bad it was.
Yeah, we actually, because I don't want to contaminate the HVAC equipment, we actually rent or use rooftop units, kind of. They're trailer mounted, and we run temporary AC through the houses. It's the only way to get it to dry. Otherwise, it'll never dry.
Amazing. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Let's, Jeff, you still there?
I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the mold situation down there.
Okay.
You just can't dry that drywall out. It's got to come out. There's more than things in that water that need to be removed, and hopefully they sanitize everything down there.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I guess that's the other side of it. All the sewer treatment plants that flooded, that's all running through there too.
Yeah.
So I
just wanted to make sure, you know, you can't just dry out drywall like that, especially when it's up to the roof. I mean,
No, but when you got 2 feet of water in your house and it's, you know, you can still dry it out. It doesn't all have to come out all the time. It's drying it out is important.
With what's in that water, I wouldn't dry anything out. I would take it out.
So Jeff is playing better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no insurance company that would allow you to do that anyway.
But they do it around here in basements that flood. They'll just set them up blowers and just blow into the walls with, they pull the baseboards, they drill holes behind the baseboard, they put all these blowers in there, dry it out, and then they put the baseboard back.
Dehumidify it and so on, yeah, because they're not.
Yeah, right. Well, that's up here, but down there, you know, like the other Jeff was talking about, all the toxic stuff in there.
Yeah,
is amazing.
All the stuff that's in the water.
It's so stupid. Everything funny is about always insurance disgusting. Companies. What's in when you go to a lake and you go swimming in a lake? What's in there? It's full of fish poo. I mean, what the hell's the difference?
Right. So, well, I don't.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, gentlemen. You don't know the difference between swimming in a lake with poo and swimming in sewer water?
I do.
Rich?
That's why I never swam in the lake.
That's why he doesn't swim in the lake. All right, hey Jeff, we got a break coming up. We appreciate the phone call, bud.
Thank you.
All right, suck it. All right, we'll be back right after this. You are listening to
Mighty. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590. And get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. You can also give us a call, 847-475-1590. You'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And with that, the Small Business Advocacy Council, the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking, support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information and to make a donation, you can visit their link at mightyhouse.net. That's mightyhouse.net. Just look for SBAC on the right-hand side there. And they've got a golf outing coming up pretty soon that Robbie will be driving Elliot around in, I'm pretty sure, right?
I'm waiting to hear from him.
Oh, you still haven't heard?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, getting kind of, you know.
Oh, you're curious and wondering?
Yeah.
All right. Should we start this? What are we typing there, Rich?
Slowly.
Okay.
All right, let's sing and dance a little
bit. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. 'Cause only you can save me now from this misery.
Where you been?
Huh?
Where you been?
I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Habits of Highly Organized People.
What?
10 Habits of Highly Organized People.
These are your 10 habits?
No. You know, like you always say, the shoemaker's children go without shoes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, these are not my habits. These are actually from Real Simple Magazine, which I love because the magazine is real simple.
Yeah.
I love it. There's just quick little things.
Okay. Large print and plenty of pictures.
There you go. Boy.
A little coloring section.
Number one, organized people avoid the big black hole.
Huh?
So you have a vast empty storage area. It invites mess. So I don't know who would have like an empty room in their home, but you know, let's say you have an empty closet or something, you just throw stuff in there.
That's the attic. That's the basement.
No.
Yes.
It's tempting to fill all that with items that don't belong together just because they fit. But once you do that, you find that everything just becomes a big chore trying to find anything.
The junk drawer.
No.
No?
Okay, you can have one junk drawer. One.
Junk drawers, I
no.
said.
No. No, 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 no. You
it's
get to
plural.
Have one.
No, no, plural.
No. Again, this is from Real Simple, and what they did is they've been talking to organizers for, you know, years, and so what they did is they took the top 10 things that these habits from organizers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, organized people trick themselves, attach a reward to a tedious task. As after you've organized the garage, you can go get a pedicure, for example.
Huh?
Or you can sit down and catch up, you know.
Have a beer.
You can have a beer. You can watch Game of Thrones. You can do something like that. So try to trick yourself. You know, I try to do that all the time. Okay, I won't have any chocolate until I, you know, that never works because I have chocolate before and then I have chocolate after.
Right.
So I'm not saying that these, you know, tips work for everybody.
No.
You know, because that chocolate thing never works for me. This one works all the time. Organized people say no to spillover.
See, if you eat the chocolate before you start, then you get to work off the calories while you're doing
and
it.
And then you get to have more chocolate.
Because you got done.
I never understand that delayed gratification thing. Never understand that. If I want chocolate, I want it now. It doesn't make sense to me. Oh, first clean out the car, then you can have chocolate. I'm an adult, you know? If I want chocolate now, I'll have it now.
Now.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld used to say when your mother would yell at you, don't eat that, you're going to ruin your appetite. And you're like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get another one.
Yeah.
I'll be hungry again later. No
yeah,
big
you're
deal.
Gonna
I'm
eat
having
in
the cookies now.
I mean, even adults say that. You're going to eat in an hour. I can eat now and in an hour. I don't understand that.
No problem.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Uh-huh.
I can eat all the time. Okay. Organized people say no to spillover. So huh? I tell people all the time, how many t-shirts can you have? As many as fit in that drawer. How many stuffed animals can you have? As many as fit in that drawer. How many books can you have? As many as fit on that bookshelf. You don't want to buy another bookshelf because you have more books. You don't want to buy another toy chest because you just want to.
You got more toys.
Yeah.
No.
You need a bigger toy box.
Toys good.
No.
Toys are good, yeah.
No. This is what organized people say. Get rid of some stuff to make room. Or, I mean, give yourself your own limit. You know, to somebody, it might be 5 toy boxes.
4 motorcycles, but I need a 5th one. Is that what you mean?
No, what I'm saying in your case, when you have no more room in your garage for your motorcycles,
right.
That's when you stop.
Oh, well, I got plenty of room then.
Okay, well, I'm
just
saying.
That's when you build another garage.
That's what your limit is. Find a limit and stick to it.
Okay.
I cannot have.
Because I can also put a car on a lift, so then I can park more underneath.
Whatever. It. If that's your limit. To the client of mine who has 25 turkey roaster thermometers that you only use once a year at Thanksgiving, really, you don't need 25. You only need one.
But you never know where
are
you're going
to find
it.
The collector's editions? And you might have to have 2 just in case the
I would say
breaks.
2, okay, but anyway.
One for every drawer because you don't know where you're going to find it. So whenever drawer you open, then you've got your turkey thermometer.
You mean like us and screwdrivers and tape measures?
Yes, exactly.
Organized people keep the citrus reamer on the top shelf. Look over the tools in your kitchen or your garage or wherever.
See, I can go right over here.
I swear, if
my
that's your citrus reamer.
My citrus reamer is on my top shelf.
There's a, right there.
He just pulled a tape out of his little briefcase.
Yep, and a screwdriver.
Oh, wait. No.
There you go. That's funny.
Yep, it's right there. I've got it in my man purse all the time.
Man purse.
What? But I have my MacGyver.
Whoa, I got mine first. Look, I got my MacGyver.
See, mine's bigger.
Really, Rich, how big is yours?
MacGyver. So I got all of that. I have tools all the time.
A client was throwing this away. This is an authentic Leatherman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know. You know what an organized person also doesn't do? Get off target. Get off track. Get off. There's a hair in here. Can you use your MacGyver and get that out? That's disgusting.
Here.
Okay. So go through your kitchen and like how often. What did you do? Ow. How often do you use your blender? If you use your blender every day, maybe you need it on the countertop. If you don't use your blender very often, top shelf in the kitchen. That's what organized people do. They go through everything and they say, okay, how often do I use a citrus reamer, Rich? Maybe in Florida you use it all the time. So you're going to have it, you know, so next to your stove, usually there's a drawer. What's in that drawer? Some people have it a junk drawer. But what you need in that drawer are the things that you use every day. Your spatula, your mixing spoon, maybe your can opener. That's what you have next to the stove where you're going to use the stuff. Everything else goes in a different place. Organize people. Oh, come on, people. Are we really done already?
It's Brandon's fault. He's running the board.
Organized people never miss something they toss. When you separate your emotions from something, you're not going to miss it. Things I've tossed, I couldn't even tell you all the things I've tossed over all the years because I don't.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.